Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Williams slings it. Williams, Loveland, bows off his man. He's going to score. Home, Colston Loveland in a jaw-dropper. 58 yards on the catch and run from the rookie.
The love for Colston continues. Tyler Ferengul reminding you how exciting of a player he is. And he laid claim that Colston Loveland will be leading the Bears in receiving yards next year.
Anyone 900. Join me.
Anyone join me. Crickets. It's very possible, Tyler. I want to be very clear. It's very possible. You know, do you think... I love what Ben Johnson said. I wonder if we have that clip. Where he talked about... You know, he was really, really animated about getting Caleb Williams' completion percentage to 65%. And then he said, ultimately wants to get to 70% and thinks that, because that's where the greats are. And then he talked about the amount of throws it would take for Caleb Williams to get up to 65%. And I love the fact that not only did he pull out a specific number, he also talked about how if you went through the tape, you'd find more throws than the number needed to get to 65% that he could actually pull from. And so when you're talking about this Bears squad and, you know, what this future of this offense could look like, again, you're talking about a team that is going to be explosive and dynamic. Luther Burden, if he puts on a couple more pounds and can be a little more durable, then you're going to see, because it's about where you want to see improvements on the team, right? And again, phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Tyler Ferengul handling producer duties. So he's the one that's talking to you right now as you guys are calling in. Get you guys on in a second. But this is a team where, you know, the assumption is that the offense will be better just because. Year two with Caleb Williams, year two with Ben Johnson. You get a lot of the same characters back. And granted, the, you know, offensive line might look a little different, specifically left tackle. But you think there's going to be growth. And I believe it wholeheartedly. And again, Ben Johnson talked about it. You're no Ryan Poles. So that's why I go over to the defensive side of the ball. And I'm like, I don't think the Bears are going to get it right on defense. Whether it's, and not to say that they shouldn't move on from Tremaine Edmonds and that they should pay Jaquan Brisker. I'm not saying those things. But the defense will look different, and Dennis Allen will have his hands full. But the good thing is he'll have a bit more of a hand in on roster construction. I think that's what's important for this Bears team because they're going to have to make a bunch of adjustments. Because if this Bears squad is putting up 30 points, it does you no good if the defense is allowing 40. And they're going to be playing some of the better teams in the league. Seattle, that one's going to be tough. Having to go out there. And then obviously within the division where a lot of teams are trying to make improvements. But let's go out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to one of our night owls. Let's go to Matthew out on the west side. Matthew, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, brother? How's it going?
You already know, man. Good to talk to you. Talk to me.
Likewise. Not much, man. I was just hollering at you. Good to talk to you as well. I was going to highlight you about the fire. How are we looking this year?
Okay.
On the new team. And the new stadium, too, Poppy. I saw they got the little fan section deposit for $20.
Do
to
it.
Get a membership.
Do it.
Do it, right, for 2028?
Do it. Drop the money. You might as well.
Cause right now, right?
Those tickets are going to be expensive, you know, come then. But we'll get to the fire in a second. What do you want to say about Caleb Williams?
Oh, yeah. And we'll get to the White Sox and Team Puerto Rico in a second, too. Caleb, you know, Gabe, I think at the same time, too, probably he like a pitcher. You feel me? He like Cade Horton. He like, you know what I'm saying? He like trying to fire 95 mile an hour fastball past Juan Soto. Sometimes he open up his hips, he overthrow it. You know what I'm saying? He trying to gas him up. Where at the same time too, when the mechanics dialed in, he can still zip a 94 mile an hour fastball by him. But at the same time too, Caleb, you got people coming at you, Gabe. You know what I mean? You got linemen, you got everything going with the play. Where that timing, it gonna hit stride, Gabe. Watch, he gonna be able to zip that 95 fastball. Not to a lineman, he's gonna be hitting Burden over the middle or something.
But you also got to know when to throw the. You also got to know when to throw the changeup occasionally, and I think
that's true.
That's something we saw whether it was on wide receiver screens or dump offs to DeAndre Swift. That sometimes it had a little bit too much heat on it, and that just comes with time, right? Or the opposite side of that is if you're a pass catcher, you need more of those throws to understand. Like I got to be ready for the 100 mile per hour fastball that Caleb might hit me with at close range. You know.
Man, likewise, and Gabe, I can see with Ben's offense and you know the player that Caleb is, like Brady finesse, where he used to go over the top of the little doink to Gronk, and he'd be all by himself. You feel me?
Yeah.
They would do the play action, and all of a sudden you just see this little dove to Gronk, and he just dancing in the end zone before he catch it. Whereas same time too, Gabe, Ben had him play action sometimes. To his left, so he a righty, okay? So when he take the handoff, now he running to his left, so now he got to throw across his body. The couple passes he did in the NFC wild card game, it was against his body, so he can't get proper mechanics. It'd be like a shortstop. It'd be like a Derek Jeter, against his body in the hole throw to first base. That's how kind of like Caleb was making some of those throws, but he'll get better, man. I swear to God, he'll get on time. And he'll get the receivers that he knows going to be here, right? He got his line. He got his backs. I mean, I think Swift and Manunga is a good little combo. That's a little Gibbs and Montgomery vibes. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. I mean, you got to have that kind of threat out there. I mean, it's important for the Chicago Bears, and they got to continue to get better. So, of course, there's different ways to get to that finish line. You know what I'm saying, Matthew?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's move it along down the line. I see Puerto Rico got a nice schedule, Gabe. They got a nice schedule. They play Canada. They play, I think they play Cuba. I think they play Brazil, if I believe so. That might be USA. But who you got for the WBC, Gabe?
I got you, Matthew. First of all, thanks for the call. I want to say that first because my producers hit me with the signal right there. But Team Puerto Rico, they ran into some tough situations, right? I think. No Javi Baez, no Lindor, like people dealing with not being able to get insurance, and you're hearing all these different things. So, I mean, they'll find a way because they're going to be playing for pride. So, Team Puerto Rico, I'm sure they'll figure it out eventually. They got enough talent on that island to make their way out of that group stage, hopefully. You mentioned the Chicago Fire. Yes, I wanted to save it for a little bit. Fire have their home opener on Saturday. I'll be hosting. You guys can make your way out to the stadium. And check me out there. The Chicago Fire lost their home opener to the Houston Dynamo. But like most teams with a bunch of new players, it's hard to find your rhythm that early, right? And their preseason in soccer is kind of weird. You just play a couple games against random teams, and then all of a sudden you get thrown into the fire. But as mentioned, they had a new formation, 5-4-1, which is something they hadn't done all last season. New players in the backfield, the defenders, and in their midfielders. They moved on from Brian Gutierrez, who's playing in Mexico now. Just like a lot of things like that. So I think Coach Berhalter, former U.S. men's national team coach, who's now the coach of the Chicago Fire, he said it best last year, right? He said, when you're playing with your club, it's like boiling water. You want it to get boiling eventually. You don't want it to just be hot out the gate. And so that's where they're at. So I expect a victory this weekend against CF Montreal. The game's early, so if you got kids... It's very rare that you get an early game. I know it's cold outside, but at 1:30 start time, kickoff. Again, I'll be your MC, so make sure you check that out. And if not, you can always watch Inside the Fire on Marquee Sports Network I host that show too. The Emmy Award winning, I'm host of the Emmy Award winning Inside the Fire on Marquee Sports Network. So make sure you check that out. That way you can get filled in on everything. But in the meantime, let's go out back out to the phones. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Ron out in Genoa. Ron, I know you're a Packers fan. You don't got to tell me that. But talk to me about this Colston Loveland idea in your mind. Would you think he'll be lead the Bears in receiving yards next year?
I don't know if it's going to be what Tyler thinks, but I tell you what, he's the guy on the Bears that scares me the most. You know, Caleb was better than I expected, but, you know, you said something about, you know, how Loveland didn't make all the wild catches, but I don't think he had to. He was just open all the time. I remember, you know, watching the games, and I'm like, damn it, there's that guy wide open again. And he's just always wide open.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have had your fair share of good tight end play. I think the Bears thought that was going to be the case with someone like Cole Kmet. And so seeing someone like Colston Loveland, who's playing the tight end position that can, you know, get their hands on the ball, he had one of the better catch rates, you know, up until like the last month of the season. So, I mean, he's a threat and he's there. I don't know. It's like with Tyson Bagent, Ron, where I feel like people give some player, we as Bears fans hype up players a little more than, you know, make them think that they're like the greatest thing ever. And I think with Colston Loveland, Tyson Bagent, I think these guys are good, but, you know, people that are saying a first round pick for Tyson Bagent is wild. To say that Colston Loveland, to put the pressure on Colston Loveland and say he got to lead the Bears in receiving next year, I think that's a little far fetched when you got other, you know, actual wide receivers on the team that are, you know, talented. It's tough for me to wrap my brain around that.
Well, I think, you know, Bajan's a great, I think he's a great backup. He could be a starter for somebody, but he's not a first-round pick. Colston Loveland, on the other hand, you know, like you said, we watched a lot of good tight ends up north, we'll call it. And the thing is, I'd rather he not be the guy, to be honest with you. But, you know, especially with Caleb, you know, his accuracy still developing, I think that guy's going to be his best friend. He's got a massive catch radius, and he's always wide open. Maybe as as Caleb gets more accurate, he may hit some of the wide receivers a lot more. But I think, you know, that's young quarterbacks, the tight ends, their best friend, and he very well could be the leader.
Ron, I got to ask you this, man. You know, I spent many years being fearful of the quarterbacks up north, as you've so kindly called it. Do you feel that same fear towards Caleb Williams now that he's, you know, had a couple years under his belt?
So, not to sound like a hater, I don't know yet. I think he had a great first year with, you know, let's kind of wash out the first year. It's his first year with Ben Johnson is kind of the rookie year, in my opinion. And let's see, you know, I when we had Rodgers, I thought, you know, I had to wait a couple of years. With Love, I've had to wait a couple of years, and I think I'm still waiting, but I like what I see. And with Williams, he's goodness. He very well could be that guy that I'm like, oh, man. I don't want to play him.
That's what I'm really hoping for. Well, not just for you though, right, Ron? I think just for the league in general, I'm tired. And, you know, I'm sure you've had different experiences looking at your schedule at the beginning of the season. But when I look at the Bears schedule at the beginning of the season, I'm tired of looking at games and being like, oh, damn, we got to face them, or, oh, no, not this team. And I want to be the team. I want to be the fan of the team that looked at that way. I want people to look at the Bears and Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson and Colston Loveland, for that matter. And I want people to be like, damn, there's a loss. You know how you do the W's and the L's at the beginning of the season?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I want the Bears to be an automatic L for people when they look at their schedule, or at least where they put it there, instead of being like, oh, Bears, we got that one. Like, that's where the Bears have been for the last couple of seasons. You know what I'm saying?
I totally understand. That's what we've thought for years. And of course, right now, it's like, maybe not. So you've moved from the, yeah, you're an L to, gosh, I hope they don't get any better.
Were you emotionally affected when the Bears beat the Packers in the playoffs? Or did you kind of feel like Packers weren't going to win it anyway, so whatever?
Both. We were so beat up. I'm not trying to put, you know, use an excuse, but we were so beat up that I expected that we weren't going to do good. But yeah, when you know, listen, when DJ Moore caught that pass, I was like, well, I can't say it on the radio.
Definitely can't say that on the radio. All right, Ron, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for giving us some insight over there onto the people in Packer land. Nothing wrong with that. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. Of course, handing it off to Dustin Rhodes in just a second. That way he got you faded with the pregame show. And then he leads it right into David Haugh and Zach Zaidman. Those will be the two gentlemen that will be taking care of you today after a week of different hosts. You saw Zach Zaidman hang out on Monday, Ruthie Polinsky on the Tuesday, Clay Harbor got in Wednesday and Thursday, and then Zach Zaidman gets to bounce back. And they got some great guests. Jeff Buchholz, political editor from WBBM. He's going to be joining at 7:25 to talk about Bear Stadium news. Then Chris Hiltman, the DePaul head coach, will be joining the fellas at 8:25. Mike Palm will get you updated on all things in the gambling world at 8:44. And then if you're looking for an update on baseball, not that Zach Zaidman isn't enough. We love what Zach Zaidman does. But his partner, Bruce Levine, will be hanging out with David and Zach at 9 o'clock. So make sure you're rolling all morning long with us here on 670 The Score. All right, phone lines are open as mentioned. 312-644-6767. Text lines are going in. A lot of people obviously loving Jeremiah Love, but got a text from 574. Says, I live in South Bend. Big Notre Dame fan. I want the Bears to get Jadarian Price too. We mentioned that earlier on the show, but I mean, you would think the Bears are going to address that too. That's another area where you just like gloss over. DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manunga, that good enough for you? I don't think so.
Well, you were talking about, too, the health of the team. That's another area where we got to look back and say that was incredible how DeAndre Swift missed one game.
Is that what it was?
This season? He missed the Bengals game, and that's the one where Manungai kind of put everyone on notice.
DeAndre Swift, 16 games. Kyle Manungai, 17.
Great. And in a world, too, where you're pretty dependent for the most part on two running backs, and that position group is banged up a lot. The fact that only both those guys missed a combined one game, sensational.
It's unbelievable. I mean, when you're thinking about the running back room of the Chicago Bears and how it's transformed over the last couple of seasons, you know, you get DeAndre Swift, you get seventh-round running back Kyle Manungai. What is his productivity going to look like, as you mentioned? You know, healthy as a masher.
Bears were the number three rushing offense in 2025. They are the blank rushing offense in 2026.
Oh, that's good. Good question. Number three in 2025, they will be the number 11.
Ooh, big drop off.
Not a drop off. It's just that they'll lean on the pass a little more.
I see.
Gotta remember, after the bye week, Ben Johnson reassessed the squad and did what good coaches are supposed to do. What do we do the best?
Pound the rock.
I brought in these three offensive linemen. I got Darnell Wright, second team all pro. I like what we got here on the line. And you know what? Kyle Manungai can make people regret wanting to tackle him. We're going to pound the rock. And Caleb Williams, I might not want you to convert on second and nine, but third and four, I think that's in your wheelhouse. I think that's where we're going to go. So I think it was the being ranked third was a byproduct of necessity for the Chicago Bears.
So this is a little bit increased passing when Caleb Williams hits his 4,000 yards this year.
Exactly. You want to know what's going to go up higher? DeAndre Swift's, or whoever the running back is, the receiving yards. You know how many receiving yards DeAndre Swift had last year? 299.
That was actually less than I thought.
That was my point, is the fact that, you know, he's a weapon that could be used, and maybe where they leaned on him to run, you might see a bit more play actions. 299 yards was the second fewest DeAndre Swift has ever had in his career.
Would not have expected that.
I know. And when you're talking about receptions, second fewest receptions he's had in his career. Second fewest.
So more running.
More running. So again, I think that's going to change next year. He'll have more receptions. So he'll get his yards from the line of scrimmage. They'll just come in a different form. Not necessarily that. Phone lines are open so that way you can talk about, you know, what you feel that maybe most people aren't talking about. The area of need of the Chicago Bears. You know, a lot of people talking about that defensive line, but nobody's talking about that running back room. You're hearing left tackle, but not necessarily as a priority. Bears have the 25th pick in the draft. What direction would you go in if you were there? And do you think DeAndre Swift is going to be the guy, is the lead back for the Chicago Bears when they start their next season. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you again. 5 o'clock, Dustin Rhodes takes over. And then that leads right into Zach Zaidman and David Hall. But your calls on the other side. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out right here on 104.3 The Score.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
No, I mean, you got to do whatever it takes to get the job done. And so each day is kind of its own story that way. But, you know, I'm not going to get specific to how long I was in the office or anything like that. But we got a great staff and we're all committed to getting whatever work's done that's necessary. But at the same time, we do need to bring energy in for the players each and every day as well.
Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. That was Ben Johnson talking about this team and what it could potentially look like in the future. And that's why we're taking your calls. Not only about the Chicago Bears and what they should be doing in the first round, because I said linebacker, made it as clear as possible. Cut Tremaine Edmonds, pick a linebacker with the 25th pick in the draft. I know it's not the sexy defensive lineman that you want or the offensive tackle that you want to somehow come in and be a savior. No. You need a bona fide line. This is Chicago. This Chicago. How ironic that you're using that to replace the guy who made that popular with the Bears. Shout out DJ Ferris also. And, you know, I say linebacker first, but, you know, people are going to think different things. Ryan Pohl saying best available. But I think when you're looking at the 25th pick and how the draft might pan out, the top 5-6 offensive linemen more than likely are going to be gone. Top 4 or 5 defensive linemen are going to be gone. That leaves you with a top 2 linebacker if you want it. You tell me best available. And if you're talking about saving $15 million by cutting Tremaine Edmonds, I think that might be the plan of attack there. But again, curious what your thoughts are. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. And of course, they're open because I got about a half an hour left with you guys before I hand it off to Dustin Rhodes and the pregame show. And then, of course, today, David Haw, Zach Zaidman. They got Jeff Buchholz at 7:25 to talk about the Bear Stadium news. Of course, he's the political editor on WBBM. Chris Hiltman, DePaul head coach, will be on 8:25. Mike Palm at 8:44. And then some more baseball talk with Bruce Levine at 9 o'clock. But right now, football talk with you. We got Kevin out in Michigan. Kevin, what do you think about this linebacker situation? You know, they got no health, very unstable. Noah Sewell dealing with Achilles. TJ Edwards dealing with a fibula fracture. Tremaine Edmonds being given permission to go seek a trade. What do you think about what's going on with this turmoil?
Well, I think they need to get at least one speedy linebacker that can really run, like an Urlacher.
Okay. I think we'd all welcome a Brian Urlacher back into on this defense. So when it comes to that first pick, you see it's at 25. The Bears have been picking, you know, top 10, top 15 for the last couple of seasons. At 25, you heard Ryan Poles talk about it. It is best available. But if you had all three positions where the player was similar, being on defensive line, linebacker, and offensive lineman, if they were comparable in terms of the grading out, what position do you think you'd end up going with, Kevin, and why?
Probably defensive end. But we definitely need a linebacker that can run. I know that.
Yeah, you saw it last year, right? I mean, even when Tremaine went down and you had DeMarco over there, and then obviously when TJ went down, they threw in Ruben Hippolyte in some moments. But there was a drop-off between Tremaine, TJ, and then whoever filled in, you know, behind them. So there has to be a significant upgrade at those positions.
Yeah, what was that rookie they had last year? He must have been hurt most of the year.
Yeah, Ruben Hippolyte.
I didn't see him play much.
Ruben Hippolyte. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, they reached. This is a guy that was a little bit smaller. I remember when the Bears drafted Ruben Hippolyte, and then you went, you know, like most of us do, most Bears fans, after somebody gets drafted, you go onto the website to try to, like, you know, click the little video and find out their stats and where they're from. I remember Ruben Hippolyte didn't even have a picture. And I was like, wait, this guy doesn't even have a picture? I felt like they reached there. But sometimes, you know, you fall in love with a guy and you end up drafting him. So maybe, who knows, maybe he'll step up. But do you have faith in him? No, right?
No, because we never really got to see him much.
Yeah, yeah. He had a couple starts, and then, you know, but again, it's tough when you're, you know, seventh round pick, something like that, and then all of a sudden you're being tasked with being the orchestrator of your defense. It's a tough task. But Kevin, I said this early in the show. I said, I just don't think the Bears are going to get it right on defense this year. And it's not to say that they won't bring in bodies and it won't be good. I just think where I want it to be and what it will be next year, I think there's a gap there. It might not look like the top defense that I want it to be just yet.
Well, what would you think about maybe the Bears trading DeAndre Swift and DJ Moore for Max Crosby? Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, you know, the Raiders have Ashton Jeancey, so I'm not sure how interested they'll be in a DeAndre Swift. But I hear what you're saying by starting the conversations with DJ Moore. Listen, if you have Fernando Mendoza as your first pick in the draft, you're going to be looking for, you know, your 1A. It's what Ryan Poles wanted for Caleb Williams, right? He wanted him to have a top-tier wide receiver. That's why he brought him in for Justin Fields. He thought the same would hold true for Caleb Williams. And so I think the Raiders might, you know, be open to that. It's just a ton of money that they're paying DJ Moore. So I'm not sure if they'd be willing to do that. But, again, you need some sort of connection. And it'll be interesting to see how that goes down. Kevin, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right, 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Let's go to Bob out in North Riverside. All right, Bob, when you're looking at this defense, where do the upgrades need to happen?
I would like to see him get a free agent or trade for Grant. There's a number 20, there's number one draft choice from Cleveland.
Miles Garrett?
Garrett, I mean.
Okay, yeah. I got you.
I like it. Or I'll have to pick someone up in free agency because number 26, there's not going to be very much there.
You talking about Nashon Wright, the cornerback that had all the interceptions? Yeah, he more than likely is going to find a payday somewhere else. Somebody's going to pay Nashon Wright to try to duplicate what he did last year. Do you think the Bears are going to get it right when it comes to this defense? By the time next season begins, whether it's free agency, the draft, or maybe picking up somebody on the waiver wire, do you think their defense is going to be much improved from last year?
I think so. Well, you know, the defensive coach knows what he's doing.
Yeah, Dennis Allen, certainly, you know, a guy who he stepped into a difficult role. Matt Eberflus, a defensive-minded coach, you know, had their team playing well. Didn't necessarily duplicate that in Dallas. But, you know, he had the luxury of bringing in guys like Tremaine Edmonds, guys that he wanted. That was the kind of linebacker he wanted in his scheme. And, you know, he was able to do that. And Dennis Allen hasn't necessarily been able to do the same. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's go out in Wheeling. We got Angelo. So you're out there. You're kind of by Arlington Heights, right?
Gabe, what's up, man? How we doing?
What's up, brother? You a night owl or nah?
Yeah, man. I'm actually an electrician, so I have a vested interest in what's going to happen with this stadium because I'm trying to make sure we got union workers out in Cook County, now in Indiana.
That's true, Angelo. And you know that if anything happens of the sorts, that union is going to go crazy if they lose out on all them jobs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't show up to the union meetings usually, but I'll be at that one if it gets announced in Indiana. So basically, I just want to say, man, Arlington Heights, I think I've been pretty in lockstep with you that's where they're going to end up. It has seemed like Indiana has made a strong push, but I feel like it's a very move made so that they can get some leverage. But I just want to see him come out to Arnton Heights, man. Like, let's get this done. I thought all the government meetings were done today, and this is supposed to be settled. But
what? Talk to me about, you know, the timeline of your emotions, Angelo. I feel like Bears fans, you know, having to deal with this psychologically, like, it hasn't been the same feeling throughout the entire process. Like, maybe there was one point where there might have feeling, you might have been feeling one thing, then feeling another, and maybe now in the present you're feeling something else. What has that been like for you? Take me through your emotional timeline.
My emotional timeline was, I was at that Rams game at Soldier Field.
Damn.
And damn sure I want the stadium to stay in the city if at all possible, but that doesn't seem realistic at this point. So I'd rather, as opposed to us go across state lines, you know, stay in Illinois. And, man, I'm ready for the great football that we got coming up. And I wish this wasn't such a thing that was hanging over us as much as it is right now.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Like, I just want to be happy about the Bears. Can I celebrate the 11 wins? Can I talk about Caleb Williams and his growth? Like, why am I talking about a stadium and the mismanagement of, you know, direction of the Chicago Bears? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do I got to discuss that? Like, why can't the adults in the room just come to a conclusion and be like, yeah, this is where it is. Now let's focus on some football.
Exactly. And I know you, Gabe, I appreciate you being on for Mully. I think it was this past Monday and Tuesday last week, whatever it was. Honestly, you were great with Haw, and I know that you kind of said that you were tired of this and he wasn't really having it, but I think a majority of the people in that are Bears fans are in the same position that you are, man. Let's just get this done with.
Of course.
You know, it's a tired conversation, and realistically, why are we making it about Indiana? Let's make it about Chicago, Illinois. Let's just get this done.
It's the pride
and
in.
If it's not, then it's a tired conversation.
Yeah, it's the pride and joy of Illinois. This is what we do know, and I think, you know, the people that are suffering the most, you know, because George McCaskey could come on this radio station and be like, oh, Gabe, we're suffering. We can't get this job done. There's so many hurdles. And I'd be like, yo, George, we're the ones that are suffering. The fans. The fans are the ones, because we have to wait more years to be able to go into a brand new stadium. We got to try to stay alive for 4 years so I can watch the Bears play in the new. It's kind of like, you know, it's like when you leave high school. And then all of a sudden they get the new gymnasium, right? They get the new lunchroom. And you're like, damn, why didn't you fix this when I was here? And I don't want to feel like that about my Bears. I don't want to be in heaven looking down and watching Caleb Williams win a Super Bowl in a new stadium. And I'm like, damn, you couldn't have did that while I was down there. You got to, you know, and then it's like, we're the ones that are suffering as a result of it. And I don't think everyone I think that's where we're at now, though, Angelo, where the suffering has come to a point where now it's you know, public opinion is swelling. It is a tidal wave, and nobody wants to feel the wrath of that wave, and so people are trying to make bigger moves. I mean, look, you've heard J.B. Pritzker talk more in the last week than you had in the last 4 months, because he understands that public opinion is not necessarily on his side, but is in agreement with the state of Illinois. That's what you're seeing.
Hey, but he did stand strong on that. He said, I'm not going to be strong-armed, which I understand. At the end of the day, man, I think you were saying about Kansas City and saying 2031, 6 years. That's crazy. I think it would be a lot sooner than that because, you know, we like to get stuff done here in Illinois. So I think that's just the best move, and I appreciate you taking my call, Gabe. You're the best, man. I wish you were on the score more. And thank you for taking the time to listen to what I had to say, man.
Of course. It's what I do. That's what I'm here for. That's why I'm live and local on your overnight, so I can hear from you. And I can hear from you as well. If you're getting up for work, if you're heading home from your third shift and you want to talk some Bears, maybe you feel like the Bears shouldn't get rid of Tyson Bagent. Oh, man, that was a great conversation we had yesterday. Or you feel as though with the 25th pick in the draft, you know what the Bears need to take in order to get them to where they need to be. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Of course, handing it over to Dustin Rhodes to begin the pregame show at 5 o'clock, and then Zach Zaidman filling in for Mully today on Mully and Haw. It'll be Zach and David starting at 5:30. But your call's on the other side. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez, live and local, right here on 104.3 The Score.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Toronto's no different than in New Orleans. The identity being physical. You want to see guys that are running off the football, getting their pads under people, starting the fight, aiming their pads, attacking, accelerating, sustained finish. I think that's the paramount, and certainly you have to protect the quarterback.
That was Dan Roschar. On the Set is the name of the podcast. And the host of the podcast is Taryn Armstead. So you're going to want to check that out. But Dan Roschar has some great stuff. That was on his expectations for the Bears in 2026. And I think a lot of us, Bears fans, media people, I think just sports fans in general, have that same expectation for the Bears where, you know, you get 11 wins. Where are we going from here? I think that's what everyone wants to think. The good thing is, for the first time in a long time, there is continuity and hope that can be the case. Now, granted, we had that with Nagy after his first season, but I think everyone understands that it's a little bit different. And at least that's what we hope. I think that's the hope. There are certain things that make you feel good about it. Of course, you know, what the Bears are doing with their offensive line, at least the interior and what it looks like. Darnell Wright is still there. So the O-line's looking good. What a great thing. I think what you're realizing if you're a Bears fan is that every year you're going to have different problems. And it just so happens that over the last couple of seasons, the Bears have had the same problem, which is finding your quarterback, getting your offensive line intact. And the defense was trucking along during that time. And now the roles have reversed a bit. Right, you feel good about the offense. Dan Roschar, the offensive line coach, talking about a lot of different things, not only about the expectations for the Bears in 2026, but he also talked about, because again, we feel good as Bears fans about the offensive line, but there's a big hole right on the left side, the blind side for the big man. Of course, Ozzie Trapillo dealing with knee injuries, Theo Benedict trying to get bigger and get more reps at that left tackle spot, and then Braxton Jones is a free agent. So Dan Roschar, they asked him who could be the left tackle for the Bears in 2026.
Listen, I'm transparent. I met with all three guys that played left tackle for us this past year, to include Theo Benedet, an undrafted young man from Canada. I told all three of them this. I know what the left tackle position looks like in this league. You are the standard. That's a rare player that comes along, but somebody has to play that position similar to that. And so it's a faceless, nameless guy right now. It has to become the way we play the game at left tackle, similar to what's being done at right tackle. Is that player in the building? I think there's guys that have traits, but not consistent enough, not the way we want it done. Consistently. So that's to be determined. Now, you can address that in free agency. You can address that in the draft. But to find your play or Darnell's play, that requires, in my opinion, you took a couple years, but it takes probably draft capital or an asset we currently don't have. So, it's probably most likely through free agency or it's here in the building. And my opinion is it's anywhere outside of here. It's here. So that's how we're going to approach it. We're going to work with the guys we got, and we're going to make it better.
Dan Roschar talking on the Set, the podcast. Make sure you check that out, about who the left tackle for the Chicago Bears could be in 2026. He said it's a nameless, faceless person. I love the fact that you are telling your potential left tackles what their performance should look like and also letting them know that they could fill that role, right? The traits are there, like you said, but it looks like something that they might address via free agency. And, I mean, it wouldn't be no surprise there. But it's going to be a position that, again, we talk about health, not only for – we've been talking about it for the Cubs all last year with, you know, six players playing over 150 games. The same thing could be said about the Chicago Bears offensive line, where they were fortunate to have a ton of health. And so you want to create the depth that's there. And so maybe the guys that he's talking about, the three people that are in the room, those are your depth pieces. But you got to find that nameless, faceless person that you're going to put there that can be the standard. And he mentioned that it took a couple years with Darnell Wright, but you know, it depends on who they'll have on the other side. A couple of other things, you know, Darren Roschard talked about, he loves watching Cole Kmet play. I know I've mentioned several times that maybe he will be a cap casualty. But to get that kind of, I don't know, that co-sign from your offensive line coach says a lot. And then he says, the guy on defense that stands out, obviously as an offensive line coach, you're paying close attention to that defensive line. And for him, it's Grady Jarrett. Look at that. So maybe that's the reason Jervon Dexter is getting some phone calls and people want to see what he could look like, because they got a guy named Grady Jarrett that, you know, came out towards the tail end of the season, and hopefully with a full year in Dennis Allen's system, he can go ahead and take the leap to get the Bears where they need to be. All right, about to get up out of here. Coming up on the other side, Dustin Rhodes with the pregame show. Got you taken care of. Going to fill you in on all things that happened yesterday in the world of sports. And then, of course, after that, David Hall, Zach Zaidman. They got you covered all morning long. Pick six coming up at 6 o'clock. Jeff Buchholz, political editor from WBBM, will join him at 7:26 to talk Bear Stadium news. Chris Hiltman, DePaul head coach, will join at 8:25. Mike Palm, 8:44. And then some baseball talk with Bruce Levine at 9 o'clock. I want to thank my producer, my executive producer, Tyler Farengall, for handling business.
Baby T. I said that's his radio name. Who gave you that name? It was me.
Yeah, I'll hold that. I'll wear that like a badge of honor, my friend. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio. 104.3 The Score.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.